Good morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here as we're concluding our summer series through various psalms that speak to how we are called to rest in the Lord. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 23 this Sunday. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Next Sunday, we're going to return to our Genesis series. So we'll be back in Genesis chapter 5. But this morning we're concluding that big question of what does it mean to rest in the Lord? And this is kind of a summary psalm for us, a summary conclusion to all of that as we look to this passage that describes the beauty of a relationship that David sees in the Lord. Because time and time again, what we've been seeing throughout this summer and the various psalms we've been hearing from the Lord in is that we are called to rest not in things or in ourselves, but to rest ultimately in the Lord God himself, that he invites us. He wants those of you who feel weary, consumed by the brokenness of your own hearts, by your own sin, to find him to be your place of rest. And so we're going to be looking at that passage in just a moment. Before we turn to that, Holy Cross kids, for the summer sermon safari, we're glad you're in here next Sunday. Many of you will return back to Holy Cross Kids, but you're always welcome here in the worship service. And as you're thinking about that, this sermon and the idea of what you're about to hear, I want you to think and perhaps even draw a sheep, because we're going to be hearing about how we are sheep. And as you're thinking about that sheep, you can draw that sheep in many different seasons. Seasons when that sheep is sleeping, maybe it's sleeping in your bed, maybe it's sleeping or eating at a table, which would be an odd thing to see. Or maybe it's in a scary place, or maybe it's in a dangerous place. But draw a sheep, because we're going to see the Lord address how he is our shepherd in the various seasons of our lives. David's going to give us three different seasons we'll see in a little bit. And so you can be thinking about that and listening for that as we turn to this psalm together. We've been memorizing this psalm, but I'm going to read it this morning. But would you please stand for the reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. This is a psalm of David. Let's hear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you desire to be in this special relationship with us, a relationship that you define in your covenant, in your promises to be with us as a good shepherd, to guide and direct our hearts so that we might find rest in you. We ask that you would guide our time now by the power of your Spirit to lead us to grow our faith and to challenge us to rest in you. We ask all this in the name of our Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this past week, Virginia was mentioned in the national news over a controversy in Fairfax County. Some of you may have read about this. A public school administrator by the name of Michelle Reed, she was a superintendent, and she developed a firestorm controversy because she sought to hire an unusual position. The title of that position was the executive protective agent for her. It was a bodyguard. She wanted to hire a bodyguard as the superintendent of a public school system, educational county throughout the county. And it was controversial because it's not an unusual position. It's financially, it's costly. But she wrote the needs for this in the job description. She described the role that this would play would need to have exceptional flexibility with an unpredictable schedule to watch over her daily activities, her security concerns. It would be with her in every season and in every location throughout the year. It was there, this person would be there to protect her, to watch over her. It's kind of a controversial question of whether or not this position is needed, but as reflecting upon this story that just came out, I'll leave the whether this is right or wrong or good or bad into your minds, but for my purposes this morning, as we're thinking about that position, how deeply we all want to feel safe, right? When we feel like the world is an unsafe place, we long to feel safe. And we often, when we feel powerless or helpless, we look to something, someone, to be bigger than us, to comfort us, to care for us, to protect us from the world. And unless we feel safe, unless we know we are cared for, we will often feel restless, and we'll feel that restlessness. And we've talked about this throughout the summer, but we'll feel this restlessness in so many different ways, in the anxieties and fears and dangers throughout the world. This administrator was looking for someone to take care of her in every stage and season of her work, and how we too want to find someone to enable, or something to enable us to rest. We long to feel safe, and therefore we long to rest. And what Psalm 23 is, what David is telling us, what he's actually inviting us to, and we've seen this time and time again, it's not the absence of trouble in which we are able to rest. It's not when the life is actually smooth and sailing perfectly that we're enabled to rest. It's actually the person of the Lord God Almighty, the relationship that we have with him. That's what enables us to rest. That's what David's describing here. It's the Lord who gives himself to us who is our rest. So David begins this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now we've read a lot of these psalms through the summer. A lot of times David, he describes the Lord as a shield or a rock or a fortress to hide behind. But in this psalm, he slows us down to contemplate not just the provision of God, but the relationship that he has with God. You see, it's his shepherd, and David was familiar with shepherding. He was a shepherd. That was his first job. He was the family shepherd. He'd watch over the family flock. And he knew what good shepherding looked like. You see, good shepherds, they feed the sheep. They know the sheep. They know the problems that are going on in their teeth. They know that when they need to be sheared. They know when they're in danger, how to protect them. And so David knows what that's like, and he puts himself in this relationship with the Lord, his creator. He's saying his rest comes from being a sheep in relationship to a great shepherd. And it's a beautiful image that the Lord embraces. Because not only does David describe this, the God of the universe, he calls himself a shepherd. That's what he's doing in John 10 as we read. Jesus, who came into this world, who holds all things together, who is the creator, he invites us into this relationship to know him as a good shepherd. One who doesn't look at the flock like a hired hand, but who loves the sheep enough to lay down his life for those sheep. Philip Keller is a shepherd who wrote a book about Psalm 23 and his experience shepherding. And in it, he says this. He says his rest, it comes from the Christ, the creator of such an enormous universe that he deigns to call himself my shepherd. And I am his sheep, the special object of his attention and affection. This is where David finds his rest, and he's going to describe in the Psalm 23 these three different seasons. And he begins by describing a season of comfort, that we find rest in the Good Shepherd in seasons of comfort. He doesn't start out this psalm like many others, where he's surrounded by his enemies or there's problems, crisis going on. He actually begins this psalm by describing green pastures, still waters, restful waters. He describes seasons and the ordinary life, a life of comfort. And as we think about a life that's comfortable, the ordinary, it's easy for us in those seasons when life is ordinary to find rest in the Lord sometimes. Because when life is comfortable, we begin to think and we're in control. We get slid into this mindset that we forget that we live in this special, unique, covenantal relationship with the Lord. And we convince ourselves that we're in control in our lives of comfort. And the perception of control can feel very good. We can feel independent. And it quickly turns to restlessness when we realize that we think we're in control in that perception. We can become terribly restless. Why? Because if I'm in control, then I have to fix every problem. I have to heal every wound. I have to be my own comfort. You see, our comfort never truly satisfies us. Our comfort never really gives us rest, because it's always dependent on trying to find more of myself. And David tells us, he makes a first point for us under this. He tells us that rest is actually contentment in the Good Shepherd. That real rest doesn't come from the comforts of our lives. It comes from the Good Shepherd, being in relationship with him. Listen to what he says, that opening line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To translate it maybe a little bit more accurate, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. David is saying that he has everything he needs because he has the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God who knows him completely. He has this relationship with the Good Shepherd. And because of that relationship, he doesn't need anything. He's content in what he has. He has the ability to rest. There was a report a couple weeks ago from Instagram. Instagram was reporting their earnings, revenue, for what they project for 2025. I can't even imagine what this number looks like. They're anticipating over $71 billion in revenue for this year on marketing advertisements on that one app alone. I mean, think about that. $71 billion to tell you there's Amazon products you need. There's a vacation that you should go on. There's more to the kitchen that you can repair and increase in. I mean, the whole marketing world is set up to tell you that your life, as comfortable as it is, needs more. And when we experience that, it becomes anxiety-producing to us, right? There's been studies about that. When you're flipping through your phone and you're looking at all the things you don't have and people say you need, it creates anxiety. It disrupts your comfort. It causes restlessness. And David's saying it's not by finding the right things. He's saying it's by finding the right person that you find rest. Because the grass will always be greener on the other side, right? It's always looking for more. But the hole that's in the longings of our souls are found and met relationally by knowing a good shepherd who says, "You are my sheep." You see, the position and posture David takes is not one of the king of Israel. The position he takes is one of a sheep, knowing he's being tenderly cared for. That's where his comfort, that's where his rest comes from. So contentment, rest means contentment in the Good Shepherd, but it also means, according to verse 2, that rest is being led by the Lord, not by us. You see, if grass is always greener on the other side, we can long to find that more, that greater thing, and then become skittish and anxious when we can't get the things we think will comfort us. Sometimes we think we can generate rest. We've said this throughout the summer. You know, we think rest can be a nap. It can be a vacation. We think all I need to do is go to bed a little bit earlier to get the rest that I need. And David is actually saying it's actually not something you generate. It's not something you find outside materially. It's not something that you experience yourself or that you can generate with your own ability. Now, how does he say that? Well, in verse 2, did you catch how he talks about how the shepherd loves the sheep? It says, he makes me lie down. He causes me to lie down. Because why? Because I'm prone to be skittish. I'm prone to not want to rest in him. He causes me to slow down. You know, sheep are skittish animals. Some of you are shepherds, you know this. They're prey. And so they're constantly looking for predators. And so they'll jump at a sudden startled moment. They'll run. And they want to stay together to protect themselves. What David is describing is that restlessness that the Lord takes away by drawing near, by putting his hands upon us and forcing us to be still before him. It's in the restlessness of the Lord's presence and love for us that causes us to lie down. You see, we're prone to think in our skittishness, well, I'll feel better if I can just finish this one last project. If I can just get it done, I'll clear out my mind, I'll be able to rest. Or I'll be calmer if the house is clean. If I can get the whole house in working order. Or if I can just work through Sunday and I can get all my work done, then I'll be able to rest. And David is saying it's not found in your capacity to do and finish the million unsaid projects or to get every dust around every corner of the house. Those things need to get done, sure. But real rest comes from him. And he also doesn't just tell us about the green pastures to force us to look at what he's provided, right? That's what he's doing. He makes me lie down and he's saying, look at the green that I've given to you. See how I'm providing for you. But he also leads us to still or restful waters. What does that mean? Well, it's interesting he uses this word for lead. It's not the same word he uses in the next verse when he talks about leading to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's a kind of leading that shows us how we are to follow in holiness and righteousness. He's going to show us what goodness is. But when he says this phrase, he leads me beside still waters, what he's actually saying is he guides in refreshing ways to stillness. That he actually doesn't, in his love, come down harshly on his people. He loves them in his grace to refresh us with his presence, with our walk with him, so that he can get us to places where we can be still and calm in him. That being able to rest from all of our anxious thoughts and our feelings is by looking to a God who is gentle and gracious with his people. David wants us to understand that it's his provision and love that gives us rest when we're overwhelmed in seasons of comfort by our own anxieties, by our own independence. But he also then transitions in this second section to a season of rest that we need in seasons of fear. Fear takes many forms, whether it's fear of getting sick or loneliness or our ability to provide for ourselves financially, feelings of rejection. And David doesn't hide from fear, he actually names it. He tells us, even though I walk through this valley, I will not fear. Why? Because the good shepherd walks with me. And so David here makes two important points for us to think about. He tells us that rest from the shepherd, it restores you when you are overwhelmed. He uses this phrase, he restores my soul. Some of you who've done shepherding with sheep, you've maybe heard of the phrase a cast sheep. It's kind of an old phrase. A cast sheep is when a sheep goes to lay down, but he's on an angle, or there's a big hole there, and he tries to sit down, and when he does, he flips over. And being top heavy, the legs go up, and he's just flailing. He's completely vulnerable, completely helpless, completely alone. He cannot physically get up. It's like me if I go into the youth room in one of those beanbag chairs. If I sit in that, I am a cast sheep. I physically cannot get up. Kids, you don't have to draw that image. Don't draw Pastor Jake trying to get up from a beanbag chair. It's not a pretty image. But sheep do this. Sheep sit down and they fall over and they flip up and they belly up and they're in vulnerable places. They can't get themselves up. And what David is describing here in verse 3 is talking about what it means for us who feel vulnerable or consumed and overwhelmed in places where we can't, and we know we can't, fix our condition. Maybe it's the depression of our own hearts. Maybe it's the overwhelmed feeling of our own sins or the scars that we've experienced from others. When we feel in complete darkness, it's like we're cast sheep. And so what David says is, he uses this word, he restores my soul. And what he's getting at in that word restore, it's not just a word for like restoration of fixing a little house. It's literally to turn the exact opposite way. It's a word we use when we talk about our repentance, turning to God. Despite our sin, we repent. We were in this pattern of death and destruction, and we turn from it. We repent. We go the exact opposite, 180 degree difference. And the Lord is literally saying, I repent your soul. What's he saying? He's not saying there's sin in him. He's saying, I turn you from the place of death and overwhelming destruction to me, to my life with me. From death to life, I restore you. I turn you completely the opposite direction. It's not something you can do to bring salvation on your own self. You can't heal your wounds or forgive your sins. But the Lord God, as a good shepherd, as we look to him in faith, he turns us from death to life, and he draws us out of this miry bog, and he sets our feet secure in him. See, a cast sheep is helpless apart from a shepherd. David knows the promises of God to redeem and to restore from death. And see, David only had a picture of God's promise and his character. And he could rest in those two things. Not knowing the full story of what God would do, he would know that God's character and his promise would restore him to life. But we've been given the greater story, the full story of how God comes into this world, that he didn't just promise redemption, he accomplished redemption by stepping in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. See, both the character and the redeeming work of God to restore our souls is found in the Good Shepherd. Because Jesus, who said it's his purpose, his reason for coming in is to restore sinners to places of dignity, to forgive them completely, full redeeming work. His purpose is to gather those who feel lost and hurt and broken. He sets captives, those who are stuck in the patterns of sin and death, free. And with a phrase, he raises Lazarus from death itself. Jesus restores your soul. And in the seasons of fear and despair, when we wonder whether we're loved, Jesus draws near and he lifts you to a seat with himself. He invites you to his table. When we're afraid of the state of our soul, we listen to the voice of our good shepherd who tells us he came into this world to defeat sin and death and to atone for you, to cover you completely with his own blood. And even though through the valley of the shadow of death, now that phrase can refer to the death of a loved one and the grief and the overwhelming consumption of darkness as we walk through this valley. But it can also come to the fear of our own death, the fear of the thought of the last breath we will take on this world. And what will that be like? It's the Lord God who guides David so that he can say, I will not be afraid. The greatest and most terrifying things in this world will not scare me. Not because they're not scary, but because the good shepherd guides me and leads me, walks with me. And see, the King of Glory, brothers and sisters, he doesn't just walk with you through this valley. He went through the valley before you on the cross to die in your place, to embrace death itself, so that, as he would say to his disciples, though you might physically die, though you might die, yet you shall live. All who hope in Christ will never experience death. You will not find rest anywhere else. Jesus is the only place where we can bring our sin and know that he will fully and completely forgive us. You will not find healing from your scars in anyone else or anything. And the Good Shepherd desires you to be with him. David describes this third season in this last two verses. He describes that he can rest in the seasons of danger. David's not just talking about the internal thoughts at this point. He means not just the danger inside, but real danger, the surrounding of literal enemies, dangerous foes who want to destroy him. And in the midst of that threat, David says, "You prepare a table before me." Kids, you can draw this. So this is, again, that image talking at the beginning of the sheep at a table. Sounds a little silly to be eating around a table with a sheep. And in fact, when David uses that word table, he didn't probably mean your kitchen table like you have it, because in the ancient Israel world, they would sit outside around a blanket. So you can think about having a picnic with a sheep. And that's what Jesus is describing, or the Lord is describing through David in this passage, is that you're gathered and having a meal at a picnic. And as strange as that is, the stranger part is that you're surrounded by people who want to destroy you, your own enemies. And David, he's sitting there. I mean, you sit down at a picnic. You're in the most vulnerable place you can be. And you're unarmed. You're eating. You're feasting. You're actually celebrating, is what David's describing here. It's open feasting in the face of the greatest dangers he could find. Why? Because the shepherd has declared, "You belong to me, and I will protect you." No one is going to touch David. And the table that's described, it's not sparse, it's actually abundant. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." It's this beautiful picture of abundance. In the ancient world, oil was often used for anointing people. In this context, we're not given that word that would indicate he's talking about being anointed to be a priest or king or anything like that. This is literal feasting oil. This is, we've got so much oil that we're using, it's just going to get poured out as a celebration. And that's what he means by the cup overflowing. It's literally the pouring of the drink. It's so abundant, it overflows the cup. That's the picture that David has from the relationship that's in his good shepherd. David can't contain the provision and care of a God who's faithful. It's abundant. So much so that he would say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, what he's saying there, it's a reorienting of how we think about goodness and mercy, because we often think, "Well, I got to earn things before God," or "I've got to do the right things in the world." But what David is saying here is that in Christ, in looking to this good shepherd that was going to come to offer himself up for David, what it means is that actually, surely goodness and mercy, the things that come from God, they're not something I earn. They literally chase after me. I'm prone to wander as a sheep. I'm prone to get stuck in a fence. I'm tempted to go out into the dangerous places where wolves are. I sin and I do things that are wrong. But God himself is going to chase after me, not with condemnation, but with goodness and mercy. They will chase after the sheep, just as Jesus said he would leave the 99 to find the one, to bring that one back into restoration life with him. All of this leads David to conclude that he, in God's grace and mercy, will dwell in the Lord's house forever. It's the promise of rest forever. Today and forever, rest in the good sheep, a good shepherd as sheep. In modern shepherding, again, I'm not a shepherd and I've never done this, but I've heard this about modern shepherding, that if you have a young lamb, and that young lamb is orphaned, sadly, that young lamb will be rejected by the whole flock. No one will take on that lamb. And it's a very, you know, when it's young, it's a very sensitive time. They need to be nursed. They need to be cared for. And that lamb becomes lost. It can wander away from the flock. It can get very sickly. It will, in fact, it'll die. But just by being an orphan, just from being in its condition. But what shepherds have found is that if a young lamb of a living mother has also died, you can take the fleece of that dead lamb and cover the sickly lamb, and they will be received by the mother. You see, all of what David's talking about in this picture of the good shepherd, it points us to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, who comes into this world, and though we are lost and sickly and alone, we find rest by the covering from his death through his blood completely, so that we might be received and belong to him forever. That's how we rest in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithful love, the covenantal promises that you give as the good shepherd who lays down his life for us as sheep. And we ask that you would deepen our walk with you, that you'd show us more of your provision and grace, and help us when we are in seasons of our own comfort, fear, or danger, to be able to turn to you and live in this relationship and to delight in your love. Help us. For you are our strength and our salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.